Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back into another edition of the Trust the Tape podcast, brought to you by Boomer Jacks. The greatness that is Boomer Jacks. Always grateful for them. Some of the best food, some of the coldest beer, great drink specials, and all those TVs, baby. No better place to go watch the sports, all the sports. March Madness, Final Four is coming up, and draft day, right, Broadus?
Absolutely, man. You got to, you know, if you're going to go to Boomer Jacks and you're going to have to watch the draft and order a bunch of drafts too while you're at it, and you're absolutely right, their food is outstanding. 17 locations around the Dallas Metroplex area. So make sure you go and hang out at one of them Boomer Jacks. They'll take good care of you.
Yeah, man. Family friendly environment. The best TV setup, really, when it comes to sports watching.
Yeah.
You can't beat it with Boomer Jacks, plus the drink special. Shout out to them for bringing us another edition of Trust the Tape with the Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broadus himself, legendary draft guru, and myself, Eric Chiafalo, the nosebleed seats here on 105.3 The Fan. Brian Broadus with the G-Bag Nation.
Yes, sir.
And very happy to be here with you today, Broadus.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, man. You know, I had your, would we say your better half the other 11?
Yeah, I'll go with that. Yeah.
You know, Zach Wolchuk a couple of times. And, you know, I've always admired you guys, the nighttime show here on 105.3, because you guys do get into the draft. And
absolutely.
You do take the draft seriously. And I think that's always something really cool when you can deal with members of your team. I don't get to work with you guys a whole heck of a lot, but hopefully here in the future we will. But that's, you know, that's kind of one of those things that when you get into the draft, you really have to get in with both feet. You just can't dip your toe in the pool and say, "Oh, I'm learning about the draft." But you guys do a heck of a job covering that.
Well, we greatly, greatly appreciate it, and much of our knowledge comes from listening to you on a daily basis.
Well, thank you for that.
Very excited to be here with you. So, plenty to get into from a draft standpoint. Man, we're getting closer and closer,
yeah,
huh?
It is.
I mean,
yeah.
just slightly over a month away now.
It is, yeah.
Which is super, super exciting. And so, we still had, it was another big week in the NFL with the trades. Tyreek Hill now, bye-bye Kansas City, hello Miami, and now Kansas City gets themselves a second first round pick, right? They're going to be picking back to back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the thing about it. I think it's really, really, we haven't seen anything like this. I know I've been in the league since 1992, and I can't remember a time where I've had so many teams that had multiple first round picks, you know, and I think it's going to make the draft really unique in that way, because are these teams going to make a pick and then trade one back? Are they going to try and make both picks? You know, there's things. I see some teams, I mean, controlling this draft a little bit. You know, there's some teams that are very talent poor up at the top of that board. Of course, you know, you look at a team like the Jets, you know, the Giants, you know, with their situations, you know. And then, you know, also the Houston Texans, another team that's pretty talent poor. And here they are with multiple picks inside the top 13. Then you get a division opponent for the Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, with all the picks they've got. On the back end now, you've got the Packers, and then you've got the Chiefs. So you have got some teams that might be able to control this draft, and they might lock some people out. You know, I mean, all of a sudden you're sitting there thinking, oh, we just got past that landmine. Oh, wait, they're coming back and picking again.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, the pro scouts who evaluate these teams are going to have to tell their drafters, hey, listen, be alert. They could go after a defensive end here. They could go after a defensive tackle. They have to be able to identify the team needs of all those teams in front of you, because those teams with the multiple picks, they could take two or three shots at this thing.
Yeah, yeah, you wonder, and that's one of the questions I have when you look at teams like the Giants, the Eagles, that you got the Packers, and then now the Chiefs, all these teams with multiple picks. Does that make you feel like there's going to be much more wheeling and dealing on draft night?
Yeah, I think there's some teams, like I said, that the talent-poor teams would probably like to make those picks, you know. And, you know, and I mentioned, like I say, you know, the Texans, the Jets, you know, the Giants. I mean, you know, I know one thing with the Giants, they're a team that's kind of moved a little bit in the past. The Giants were a team at one time that never moved. I mean, when you dealt with the Giants, it was like they would just make their picks and kind of move on.
Yeah.
But, you know, and again, if you're talking about a division opponent too, throw the Commanders in there too, because you got the Giants with the picks there, you know, the picks at five, their own pick at five, and then they got the Chicago Bears pick at seven. And then you turn around, and then the Commanders are there at 11, and then you start to get the run of the Eagles. They got 15, 16, and their own pick at 19.
Yep.
So your division is going to get a lot of shots at this board.
Your division really controls the first round.
They do. They absolutely do. So you think about that, you are going to have six, I believe, if I counted this right. There's the two with the Giants, the one with the Commanders, and then three with the Eagles. That's six opportunities before you even get to pick. So that division just got added six premium players, all within the first 19 picks.
Is there a couple of guys that you feel like would be nightmare scenarios from a Cowboys perspective if they land in the division, if the Giants get this guy or Washington or Philadelphia?
Yeah, the Giants have been one of those teams that have had really a terrible run of picking offensive linemen.
Yeah, it's been outstanding.
And, you know, you look at that and you're saying, my gosh, you know, if they, you know, with picks five and seven, they could surely draft. You know, they very well could maybe get two offensive tackles if they wanted to, realistically. But I mean, you know, that's going to be, I think, to me, a fascinating spot, because, you know, these other teams are looking. I mean, there's these offensive tackles. I mean, you start talking about Cross from Mississippi State, my personal favorite, Ekwonu from North Carolina State. I mean, he's an athletic one. Neal from Alabama, Penny from Northern Iowa. I mean, these guys, you know, that's four right there.
Yeah, it's just loaded.
Yeah. I mean, and okay, so all of a sudden the Giants grab one of those guys, the Commanders grab one of those guys. You know, that's something you worry about, is you worry about a division team grabbing offensive linemen and getting their group going the right direction.
Right, right. So now I wanted to ask you, when it comes to the Cowboys and the way they've done this here in free agency, and we know how they attack free agency, which is not,
like a pillow fight.
Yeah, not very aggressive at all.
Yeah.
The fan base is frustrated, totally understandable. Sure. We're all frustrated. And I'm curious, have they left too many needs on the roster to be able to realistically fill them all just through the draft?
I'll tell you what, it is something that it's amazing to me with the Cowboys how they just went ahead and moved on from like a guy like Lyle Collins, you know, and I get it. You know, if you don't think that Lyle Collins, if you don't trust him anymore, Lyle Collins came in really good physical condition. And then all of a sudden the failed drug test came into play. And then, you know, where's the trust factor there, you know? And, you know, I kind of feel like this was kind of personal, you know, if you really want to be honest about it. And, you know, Amari Cooper, I kind of feel like that was a little personal too. I've said it on our shows. I know when we got to work with you guys here a couple weeks ago, we kind of talked about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I if you look at the Cowboys, you know, they've been able to re-sign some of their own. I mean, I would feel a lot better about certain positions. You know, they get the Tank Lawrence thing done. But, you know, they thought they had the Randy Gregory thing done, and boom, his agent pulls the rug from out underneath them. And now you're in a situation where, okay, well, Dorrance Armstrong, you signed him back. You know, and Dorrance Armstrong, if this was Dorrance Armstrong 2 years ago, I would be going, like, you know, damn, this is a guy that plays one game and then he's gone three. I thought he was a lot more consistent last year. You know, but they've made some of those kind of those bottom of the – you know, those bottom of the, you know, the ocean, the, you know, bottom of the water, bottom fishing, whatever you want to call it, when you start talking about Washington, the wide receiver,
right,
bringing Leighton Vander Esch back.
It's just guys. It's just bodies.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. And then, like, Fowler. But then we also go back and we look at last year at this time, and all of a sudden they sign Jaron Kearse, and we're going, that's Jaron Kearse is going to get cut. Now it's not going to be anything. Jaron Kearse from week two on was one of your better defensive players behind Micah Parsons. So
biggest surprise of the year.
Yeah, I think the hope is that maybe that one of these guys like Fowler could show up and make plays. And so you have Armstrong and Fowler, and you kind of throw that at it. And then Golston on the other side backing up.
Basham in there.
Yeah.
So you got a rotation of guys.
And, you know, but this the edge class is pretty deep. You know, I mean, initially we all thought that Walker from Georgia was going to be a guy that was like everybody had him mocked to Dallas at 24. Walker, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And now it's like the way he tested, the way people are evaluating the film, you know, you're not going to see him. That could be a top 10 player right there. So, and then you look at, though, like Ojabo from Michigan. Okay, there's another guy that could potentially be right in the Cowboys' wheelhouse at 24.
Yep.
And boom, he blows out his Achilles. And now
such
you're like,
a bummer.
Yeah. So now you've lost that. You've lost that defensive end at that spot, potentially.
And Ojabo would have been kind of the perfect complement to DeMarcus Lawrence, right?
Sure.
The perfect Randy Gregory replacement,
right, yeah,
because of his ability to win with the speed around the edge.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think the thing with Ojabo was that, you know, he's really, really raw. And you watch him play. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson on the other side will be one of the top three players in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other side, you did see a guy win. But, you know, Ojabo, his history is just not a lot of football. And there's some scary parts about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's some scariness that, like, man, this guy has not played much football.
Yeah, it depends on how you look at those guys, right? It's like, hey, there's a lot of room for growth here.
Yeah. And then that's why you see Dan Quinn. That's why you see Dan Quinn out working out like a Sam Williams.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, Sam Williams is a guy from Ole Miss that you're like going, huh, maybe a third-round guy. But the Cowboys are probably viewing Sam. If you think that Sam Williams is a third-round guy, you probably have to think about him as a second-round guy, because when it gets back around to you in the third round, this guy's probably not going to be there. So I know I'm talking about a lot of defensive ends. And, you know, we've even haven't mentioned Karloftis from Purdue as another guy that potentially. So
yeah, he'd be
like
worth the pick.
Names. I feel like their names there. But, yeah, if you look at the Cowboys, did they do enough? You know, there's plenty of receivers in this draft. The questions are going to be about the offensive line. You know, because other than Lindenbaum from Iowa, I don't have another first-round interior player. And, okay, but I have 20 names in my first round. So pick 21 is actually player 21 on my board.
A second-round guy.
And a lot of teams have it that way. You know, if you ever follow the draft, there are not 32 names on a board. There are like between 18 and 20 names. So you're looking at a guy, you know, like I say, guys like Green, Zion Johnson, Ingram from LSU. These are all like on my board second round guys.
So you would consider those guys to be a bit of a reach then at 24?
Not really a reach, because to me,
that's just what's there. That's just what's available.
You're going to take the top, like, for example, Connor McGovern was the grade of a 1-2-1 on the Cowboys board. Low number is the best. So, like, say, for example, you get the 1, and then the 2-1 means that second round, one of the top guys. So that's kind of where, you know, that's like, it's the same spot that they would have, say, for example, when they did Travis Frederick. So they had a top of the second round grade on Connor McGovern, but boom, they get him in the third round. So, you know, sometimes players fall through, you know, and like Jason Witten was a prime example for us in that draft with him was, you know, he has a first round grade of a 1-1-9. That's the bottom of the first.
Mm-hmm.
We get to the third round, you know, Jerry looks at Parcells and says, we've got to take Jason Witten. And Bill goes, absolutely, we do.
Yeah.
That's that blinking light for you that you see in the draft.
Okay, so when it comes to the big needs, I think most of us feel confident. Hey, biggest needs, you're going to be looking at that interior of the offensive line for the Cowboys.
I think so, yeah.
And then the edge spot. Now, they've thrown some bodies there with Fowler and all the guys that we mentioned. But what do you feel more confident about being able to get a plug-and-play starter at in round number two? Do you feel better about getting one of these interior linemen in round two, day one starter, or one of these edge guys?
I think that, to me, I would feel a lot better about potentially that maybe the wide receiver crew would be like, you know, now I know that it's like when you start talking about plug and play, you're talking about 11 personnel putting a guy out on the field. I think there's some quality wide receivers. I kind of feel like the same thing with the guard spot. You know, and I mentioned Green. People love Zion Johnson. I have Ingram above him. I mean, I could be really, really wrong about Zion Johnson.
Yeah, because you seem to be the outlier.
I am the outlier here on this one. But I do like Green. I do like Ingram. I do like Zion Johnson. They're all right there in the second round for me.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You get like one of these, a one or a three technique, defensive tackle. You know, when you start talking about, now you're probably not going to get a crack at it like a Jordan Davis from Georgia. Maybe Wyatt, the other Georgia defensive tackle, he's like a three technique. That might be something you want to consider.
But don't you feel like, I mean, from an interior D-line standpoint, are the Cowboys, they're okay at the three technique, aren't they? Yeah, Isn't it the one?
Yeah, but that's, to me, like I said, I that's where I would be interested to see. I have Mathias from Alabama as my second best one technique. So it's Davis, Mathias from Alabama, and then Travis Jones. There's a lot of people that really like Travis Jones from Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, Dallas is having him on a 30 visit. And when we talk about the 30 visits, we mention it all the time. These are the opportunities to, you have the opportunity to bring in 30 guys to visit with on overnight visits. So you get a little bit better feel for the guy. Your coaches can meet with him. Jerry and Steven can meet with him. So that's something that when you start talking about Travis Jones, Maybe that's that sleeper at 24. I don't know if they would take a one technique at 24.
They haven't since Russell Maryland, right?
Oh, I know. It's been a long, 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 long time. But see, that's what I'm saying. If you ask me for a sleeper guy that maybe, like, we're not thinking about this, I wonder if they would take a guy like Travis Jones there, the defensive tackle, the one technique from Connecticut.
I mean, I would say it'd be kind of a bit of a pleasant surprise, and certainly a surprise, but because it's not something they really invest in.
But if you look at this and all of a sudden they and one of those guards are on the board, like Green's on the board or Zion Johnson's on the board.
You can't pass that up,
and
man.
You take like Travis Jones or Wyatt or something like that.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
Those are good players, but they're all kind of in that same area.
But when you think about how desperate we are right now,
oh, gosh,
for that offensive line.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, to me, and I'm sorry I'm jumping on your
No,
right now,
you're good.
To me, and like, you know, our radio partner, radio teammate Gavin Dawson and I were talking about this on the radio today on Friday here about, you know, what would you do if you're the Cowboys? What would you try and do? What's left to do? What's left to do is take one of those third, fourth, and those many of the fifths that you have and try and trade with somebody for an interior offensive lineman. Maybe somebody has a surplus. Offensive linemen are tough for surplus. But maybe somebody has a guy, a 2 or 3 year guard, you know. But you got a 2 or 3 year guard here too with Connor
with
McGovern.
But
do you take one of those fives and go get a veteran that you think can play, and then that takes you into, we don't have to worry so much. We can wait later on and draft. You know, now you have a bridge veteran, and you bring in another young guy behind him to compete for the spot.
Yeah, and you don't feel like you have to spend the first round pick on it.
Yeah.
Now, if you made a move like that, you would have to do that prior to the draft?
Yeah, I think in the next month, next 35 so days, you have to think about if, okay, either sign somebody or trade for. Now, there's guys out there like, you know, Will Hernandez, who was from UTEP, who the Cowboys liked several years ago. He's a big, bulky kind of guy. The foot quickness is not the best. He struggles a little bit on the edge. And I mean, when people get on that shoulder, but if you try and run over him, it's a hard guy because he's so big and boxy.
Right.
So, you know, do they sign a guy like that and then still use a first round? I mean, there's options out there. I think their pro department would need to step up and say, hey, the New Orleans Saints have extra guards. See if they'll take a 4 for this guy or a 3 for this guy. Maybe target a team that doesn't have a whole hell of a lot of picks, and you could kind of maybe pluck a lineman away from them.
There you go. There you go. Now, back to the 30 visit deal. Yeah. The Cowboys kind of show their hand a decent amount, don't they with that?
Yeah, and the reason why you see them kind of show their hand is because that's the best opportunity for Jerry and Steven and Mike McCarthy to meet with the player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jerry and Steven are not your traditional general managers. I'm not telling you something you already don't know. But they're not going to the, like, other general managers and going to sit over there at the Holiday Inn in Indianapolis and interview players.
Yeah, grind this thing out. Job's on the line.
They're over on the bus meeting with agents about Amari Cooper and also other things like Lyle Collins guys and stuff like that.
So is Will McClay more the guy who with the traditional?
Will McClay would be the point on the interviews.
Okay.
But the 30 visits would allow these guys to be able to, like I say, the Jerrys and Stevens, to be able to kind of meet and kind of get to know these guys a little bit better.
Okay, so Brian Broaddus is running the draft right now for the Cowboys. How would you?
Wait, I'm going to Boomer Jacks first. I'm gonna hang out at Boomer Jacks first. But no,
hell of a war room.
Yeah, that's my war room. At Boomer Jacks is a great war room. But no, okay, go ahead. You asked me about that.
Well, so you're running the draft. You're a month out. How would you like to see it shake out based on what your needs are and the talent that's there? Who would you most like to see from a realistic standpoint, maybe an individual player or particular position that you'd say, I would love to capitalize on this guy or this position in round one?
Yeah, man, that is a super question because I'm looking – do I really want to do something at wide receiver? Do I really want to do something with Burks from Arkansas or Olave? You know, maybe you won't get a shot at Olave. But I wonder if they're thinking like, because last year, like I said, they had 3 of the best wide receivers in the league. And where'd the offense go? The halfway point of the
sputtered.
Season, it went south.
Because you couldn't block anybody. That's
so,
why I'm looking at Kenyon Green right now. Going, no, come no, here, big
you're
boy.
Absolutely right about that. You know, or him, Zion Johnson, Ingram, one of those guys. You know, Lindenbaum, the Iowa center.
I love him.
I think to me, that's where I'm trying to figure out, can I have a consensus on who the best guard is in this draft? Can I get a consensus? Now, I'll tell you something I'm a little bit worried about there, Cheech. I'm worried about that, okay, you know, Joe Philbin, the line coach here, did not draft Connor McGovern. So, right. So Connor McGovern's here.
It's not his guy.
It's not his guy, and he's really not a fan of Connor McGovern. But all of a sudden, like, the scouts love Connor McGovern. So they play Connor McGovern. He doesn't play all that well. So now the scouts are a little bit, you know, shamed because the line coach is probably saying, well, listen, your guy didn't play worth a crap. You know, and now, so all of a sudden, Joe Philbin takes the reins, and he's, like, telling McCarthy and Steven and Jerry that, like, the scouts might like Zion Johnson, but let me tell you, Green's a better player. And now you have a little divide in the room. So if I'm Will McClay and I'm a month out and we're starting to meet, I want to make sure I have a consensus of what's going on at guard. If we're going to make this pick, if it's Lindenbaum at center, is it Green, Zion Johnson, Ingram, Kennard, one of those guys, if it's one of those guys, I want it to be a consensus. I don't want it to be like guys are getting butt hurt because, oh, by the way, they tried to tell me this guy could play and he couldn't play. So I want everybody on board. I'm mending as many fences as I can because everybody's pointing at this offensive line. They're saying, hey, the left tackle, you know, we used to talk about, and as we do radio, you know, everybody's asking like, oh, well, who are the great players on the Cowboys? There used to be a time when Tyron Smith was a great player.
No brainer.
Now you say Parsons, Martin, who else? The punter, maybe. Great players.
Yeah.
You know, you don't say Tyron Smith anymore. And so, to me, there's some problems at the left tackle spot. There's problems at the left guard spot. There's might be a little some issues at center.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to figure out what's going on at right tackle. This offensive line does not look the same as the offensive line that we thought when we went into Oxnard last year. We were like, man, this is one of the top five offensive lines. We were saying it with our chest. You know?
Yeah.
But now it really isn't. And that's the questions I think you have to ask yourself is how committed are you to trying to rebuild? And the consensus I want is I want to know I want all the tackles lined up. I want all the guards lined up. And I know I can maybe grab a couple of centers. If I don't get Lindenbaum, Fortner from Kentucky is one of my favorite players. Parham from Memphis is another one of my favorite players. But both those guys are like third-round guys.
Okay, so, and are those guys you feel like plug and play, boom, day one, they can step in and be starters?
I think that, you know, when you start to talk, I mean, I think Fortner would be a guy that I would plug and play. Parham, I think maybe, I'd be interested to see the competition at center. I think that I think plug and play really applies to the left guard. I really do think plug and play applies to the left guard. Now, I'll tell you this. If one of those damn tackles are there, and I know we're talking about a lot of offensive linemen, but I kind of feel this is where things might be going.
Me too.
If it's Penny and one of those guys, you get a crack at him or Raymond or somebody like that, do you just say, draft those guys and play them at right tackle, and I'm sorry.
Terrence Steele.
Terrence Steele, you're the swing tackle. You know? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I mean. I don't know. That's kind of where... You know, I used to think that maybe that you could draft one of these tackles and then play Lyle Collins at left guard. But they'll tell you that Lyle Collins can't bend. You know, he can't bend. He's in the waist. He can't bend. The hip surgery and stuff hurt him.
Yeah.
But that's what happens. When you get rid of guys, everybody whispers like, oh, this guy can't do this and this guy can't do that. You know.
That's yeah. Well, so you mentioned Joe Philbin. You mentioned the scouts. And when we saw Joe Philbin at the A&M Pro Day, he was all up on Kenyon Green.
He
was getting an up-close-and-personal look. Yeah. Now, the implication there is, hey, this guy's super interested in him.
Yeah.
And so now who knows exactly how he feels about him. But we all know Kenyon Green. He's a nasty boy.
He's
a guy you'd love to have on your offensive line. But I love the idea of a disconnect between scouts and coaches. And so from your general perspective and your experience, who usually wins out in those battles?
In the Cowboys, I hate to say this, and Will, I think, does a really good job, and he calls it the Bermuda Triangle. Like, the Joneses are at the top of the triangle, the scouts are in one corner, and the coaches are in the other, and he's in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle trying to survive. Yeah, he's trying to survive.
Mediating the whole
thing. Yeah, he is losing airplanes and boats and everything like that in the Bermuda Triangle. And I think that, you know, the one thing that Mike McCarthy, when he was at Green Bay, coaches had a say, but not the say they have at the Cowboys. Look what Dan Quinn's doing. Look how Dan Quinn has just totally redone this defense. All of a sudden, you're Dan Quinn. You go in there, and Dan Quinn doesn't leave. But what does Dan Quinn get? Dan Quinn gets a bigger contract. Dan Quinn maybe has a provision or two in his contract that he might be the head coach one day. So all of a sudden, Dan Quinn's out there hitting every single pro day. What does Mike McCarthy do? Oh, maybe I need to get out there and hit some pro days, too.
let me show some face.
Penn State and places like that. So, yeah, I mean, you have to show that you're – but the Joneses, it's – they love the scouts. The problem is, though, a coach will come in there and say, hey, we need this guy. And just the prime example is look what Dan Quinn did for the defense. You know, look what he did bringing in.
He was a savior.
And George Edwards. George Edwards, the linebackers coach. He knew about, about Curse. Hey, if you guys are going to bring in a guy, let's bring in Curse. Mm-hmm. I think he could help us. That's how coaches win battles in the Dallas Cowboys war room with that. And Will has to manage a coach being mad at the scouts being mad at the Joneses being mad at the coaches. Will has to manage all that. And that's a tough deal over there.
Very tough. And also from your experience when it comes to the draft, who usually is more correct? Is it usually the scouts at the end of the day? I mean, because that's their forte. That's where they...
Scouts can be wrong,
butter
too.
Butter their bread, for sure.
Scouts
but
can be wrong.
Generally speaking, you're better off leaning towards the scouts, aren't you?
I, as a scout, I used to sell these coaches when they, like, I would work on a draft for a year, and then the coaches would come in there in 1 month, just totally take apart everything that I did. And I used to say this. I'm like, listen, I did this for the whole year. During the season, I didn't come down on the field and tell you how to call a third down defense. Okay? You got to trust me because I trust you to call a third down defense.
Amen.
But if you're going to come in here and play in my sandbox, I'm gonna make it hard on you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that I don't want to sit there and work on something for a whole entire year and then all of a sudden just have it go up in smoke because a coach talks to another coach. It's like, hey, I worked this. You know, I remember one time Mike Zimmer, and I love Mike Zimmer. Mike's one of my favorite people. Mike one day came into a room, and we were dealing with a defensive back on the board, and Mike's like, I love this kid. I love this kid. I love this kid. The next day, Mike comes back and goes, I hate this kid. I hate this kid. I hate this kid. I looked at Zimmer, and I said, you have got to make up your damn mind. I go, you are killing the scouts right now. You are killing them.
Yeah.
Because they are going with you on this. They're putting their, you know, what's on the line right now for mm-hmm. you. And you got to help them. So coaches have got to realize that they've got to be able to step back and say, hey, listen, this is what I see in the player, but my opinion should not be the final opinion.
I love it. Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broaddus, ladies and gentlemen. Well, this has been fun.
It has been. It's been a lot of fun.
Let's do it again.
We got some more days we could do this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll be back next week. We are just over 1 month away from the draft, so go ahead, get those plans ready. Boomer Jacks is awaiting you. All the TVs, all the delicious food, and all the great drink specials. Thank you to Boomer Jacks. Thank you to Brian Broaddus.
Thank you, man.
And ladies and gentlemen, never forget to trust the tape.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.